Morning, everyone. Glad that you're here. Good to have some world travelers back. Glad that Gay's back from across the globe. Glad to have some visitors as well. Always a good day to be with God's people. I'm very glad that you're here. A couple housekeeping things before we start the lesson. There's this meeting coming up, and on the back table where you picked up your emblems for the Lord's Supper, there's two important things. One is a meal list for John Kilgore. The days that he's here, lunch and dinner and things like that, you can sign up, go take him out or cook him something fancy if that's what you're into. But please sign up for that. We're very grateful for what he's doing for us, and it'll be some small way to give back. And next to that, there's a ton of these little slips of paper that a couple of our members thoughtfully put together. There's actually a ton of these things. And the idea is you can take them and put them up places. They're give them to your friends, your neighbors. If you go to a restaurant, put some in your purse if you're a lady and leave them on the table, whatever you need to do to kind of help get the word out. And there's a big stack of them. So grab a few and leave them scattered throughout your life and cast a wide net, as it were. So just check out that table on the way out today and be sure to look at those things. Before we get to the lesson, I'd like to read our scripture of the month, which is Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rains and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose, and will succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Amen. Amen. The lesson today is titled, "Dwell in the House." And we've been hammering that theme well. The scripture reading is from Psalm 27. If you haven't done so already, you might want to open your Bibles there. Maybe put a marker there. We're going to spend most all of our time there today. And of course, that last song we sang was derived from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Today's lesson is a simple one. We're just going to read Psalm 27 and talk about it and think about it, and then the lesson will be yours. We're gonna stay planted here. The art for today, not quite like other things we've had before. You know, usually we have some kind of painting or drawing that expresses something about what we're looking at today. This is a little dark with the lighting in the room, but this is from a model. This is actually a photograph from a model. In 1883, there's this artist named Thomas Newberry who made a model of the tabernacle with all the furnishings and all this. It was one of the first that was really, really big and popular. It's in some museum in Europe. I'm sure Gabe probably saw it. She'll tell you all about it. But this is a picture from inside of the tabernacle, inside of the house of the Lord, as it were. We've got the Ark of the Covenant in there with the cherubim, the gold. You'll notice how it's all gold, right? Gold-plated walls with the palm trees engraved on the sides, the lamps that were always lit, and the table for bread. This is the house of the Lord, dwelling in the house of the Lord. And that's what we're going to be thinking particularly about today. So to start, we'll read through the different sections of this psalm and have some thoughts, and the lesson will be yours. The beginning of this psalm, in the first few verses, it'll be up on the screen. I hope you can read the font. I tried to draw colors from the picture. I thought that'd be really clever, but I'm afraid it might be a little dark. So if it is, just have a Bible in front of you and rely on that. No, it's the same verses, I promise, but it might be easier to just read what's on your page. The first few verses say this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. And yet war arise against me, still I will be confident. This psalm opens up with bold acclamation of the author's trust in God. He says, God is my light, my salvation, the defense of my life. Who do I have to be afraid of? Who do I have to fear? Even if I have all these enemies, he says, even if a whole army encamps against me, I won't be afraid. And if you'll notice at the top of your page, your Bible might say this is a Psalm of David, might have an inscription up there somewhere. And so you can appreciate some of the language here as it talks about enemies and foes rising up against you. Because I imagine maybe you don't wake up every day and have a lot of enemies encamped against you. You know, maybe you don't walk out of your back door in the morning and there's a whole army with guns or swords saying, oh, there he is, there's our enemy. That may not be your life, but that was often David's life. And he says, even with danger surrounding me, I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to be afraid of. It reminds us of elsewhere, like in Jeremiah, where he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? This is the idea that he starts off with as he writes this poem or this song or this prayer, however you want to think about it. He starts off with this confidence. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. As he's talking to his disciples, he says, therefore, do not fear them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. As we look at the beginning words of this psalm, saying, I have nothing to fear, and we look at these words of Jesus to his disciples, I want you to take this in. Twice he says, do not fear them. Do not fear them. There's real danger in the world, and not just from people. And he says, don't be afraid. My disciples should not be afraid. He says, instead, fear him who's able to destroy soul and body in hell. And I want you to think about the flip side. Put your trust in someone who can save you from your trials, who can also save your life, who can redeem you even through death, the one who has conquered even death. Put your trust in him. I realize that maybe, I don't think anyone here is actively in the military. If you are, it might be secret and you might not be allowed to tell us. And that's sort of a joke. But there is danger that we face, and I don't want you to not realize it just because you don't have armies encamped or foes encamped against you. I know that there's people here who deal with serious trials. There are people in this congregation who are very sick, who struggle with their health, and that adds on all sorts of things, who struggle with their emotions. And the way this psalm starts, he says, I have nothing to be afraid of because I trust in God. I have nothing to fear. He moves on from this confidence to talk about the real goal of his life and of this psalm, which is where we'll read now. Read with me here in verse 4. He says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. As David reflects on the confidence he has in God, he makes this statement in verse 4 that is really the heart of this whole psalm and ends up being the heart of his whole life. Verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing I will seek after. When you think about King David, someone who has that much power and that much opportunity, of all the things that you could want, of all the things you could chase after. You know, he could have been the most, one of the most powerful men in the world. You know, he could have been one of the most rich people. He could have had anything he wanted. He could have been someone who the people loved and respected and feared. But he says, one thing I've sought after, and it's not any of those things. The one thing that I seek, he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's his goal. That's the one aim that he says. If there's one thing, that's it. To dwell in the house of the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, do you appreciate that? Do you read that and does that surprise you? You say, oh, you know, of all the things you could want, that's it. Or does that make a lot of sense to you? I want you to think about this. He's longing for communion with God. It reminds me of what Jesus says as he prays in John 17. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Do you remember when Jesus prays this? He says, eternal life is knowing you, Lord. And David here, he prays, one thing I've put my life towards, one thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. I want you to think about the closeness that we feel with God in worship. As we think about the house of the Lord, you know, when David writes this, what he's thinking of when he talks about the house of the Lord is the temple or the tabernacle, right? It's the art that we saw on the screen. He says, that's where I want to be all the days of my life. Maybe you're sitting in your pew and you're thinking, I don't know if I could be in the church building all the days of my life. You know, once a week's pretty all right with me. But David says, no, I want to be there every day of my life. That's my goal. And you think, well, what's the point? What's he getting at here? What is he after? What's he want? I want you to think about the closeness that you feel with God when we take communion, like Bruce led us in this morning. I want you to think about the understanding that you gain from God as we sing to him and we're reminded and the words come to the front of our mind as we think about God's relentless love, his creative power, his faithfulness through all of our mistakes. We think about these things and that's what centers us. That's what grounds us. That's why we worship every single day, every single first day of the week. It centers us. You know, we come together and we say, this is what's most important to me and to everyone here, right? That's why we're here. And then you can start to understand why he says this in verse 4. To consider the endlessness of his power, the height of his justice, his true faithful love. He says, this is what I want, to see this. And he qualifies this with two other lines. I don't really want to go into this a whole lot, but this sort of poetry is filled with all these double lines. And so here, he talks about, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then he qualifies it or describes it with two different phrases. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. He says, when I'm in the house of the Lord, these are the two things. This is what it means. To see his beauty and to meditate in his temple, or your Bible might say to inquire, right? To seek, as we've been thinking about this morning, to seek wisdom and advice and direction from our Heavenly Father, just as purely as a child would ask their father for advice or for guidance. He says, this is the goal. There's only one thing in the world that matters. And surely none of us are kings or anywhere close. There's probably not, you know, a ton of people who love and respect you and look to you for safety and provision. But we can still, just the same, with even fewer temptations, find ourselves losing track of what's actually important. You know, we think, well, it's important to be faithful to God, and I'd also like to be financially stable all the time. That would be really nice. You know, I God's number one, obviously, but here's all these other things that I want. And the list can go on. You know, there's no end of things that our hearts can want. But David reminds us, and we need to return to this over and over, there's only one thing in the world that actually matters. There's only one thing. David says, this is it. I want to be with the Lord. We think about dwelling. That's kind of a word that's fallen out of use. I don't usually say that. When people say, "Where are you from?" You know, I don't say, "I dwell in Saratoga." That sounds a little clunky. But what it means is, it's where you live. It's where you stay. It's where you belong. And he says, this is where I want to belong. I want to belong where God is. That's where I want to be. And this is the center of all of it. When we get to verse 7, though, the text switches. And this psalm that started with so much confidence and reflects so much on the beauty of the Lord. And as he says, you know, I'm gonna be in his tent, in the tabernacle. I'm gonna offer sacrifices and sing to the Lord. He now turns and we start to see some cracks, as it were, in the confidence. Verse 7, it's on the screen or on your Bible. It says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." This section, verses 7 through 12, kind of come as a shock to me. You know, he starts this psalm saying, "Who shall I fear? What do I have to be afraid of?" You know, he talks about his confidence in the Lord. But then he turns in the middle of it and he says, "Lord, answer me when I cry. Don't turn away from me. Don't hide your face from me, God." He's asking God to stay with him and to listen to him. There's this earnestness in this section where he says, "You've told me to seek you, and I'm telling you, I'm looking for you, God. I've told you, your face, O Lord, I will seek." He says, "I'm doing what you've told me to do. Please be with me. Hear me out." And I want this to be an encouraging thing to us as we read this. Because maybe as you read the first 6 verses of this psalm, you think, well, this doesn't quite fit me. You know, I couldn't write this psalm because I don't quite have that confidence. I don't quite have that drive or that focus. You know, this is a psalm for someone else. But this section about their cry for help, it makes it fair. You know, it makes it human that even as we have confidence in God, we all struggle. We all need the Lord still. We all still cry out to him for help. "Cast me not off, forsake me not," he says. He says, "Even if my father and my mother forsake me," you know, the people closest to you in your life, even if they fall through, if they don't do what they ought to, if they're not the sort of people they should be to you, and it's hurt you, he says, that doesn't matter, even if it means that the Lord will take me up. Like, even if my own family fails me, if God doesn't, that's fine. It's enough for me. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Luke 14. He says, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He says, there's only one thing that matters, he says. Or it might remind us as well of Mark chapter 10 on the flip side of this. In Mark 10 and verse 29, Jesus' teaching says, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who won't receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." That Jesus expects us, and God expects us, to put him at the top priority. You know, we focused on this phrase in verse 4, one thing. And he says here in Luke, you know, if you're not willing to leave all of these things that are close to you, you're not worthy. But he also reaffirms us in Mark 10. He says, "There's no one who's left these things who won't receive many, many more." And I think that we've seen that here at this church, you know. Maybe your family situation is not such a pretty thing. Maybe it's a pretty painful thing, but you've found fellowship with the brothers and sisters here. that we this family is something that God provides for us as well. That as much as God takes, he provides more and more so from his fullness. And so he gets to this section in verse 27. Or in Psalm 27, verse 11, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence." He says, "I need to know your ways, Lord. Even if people are slandering me or lying about me, even if people are turning against me, I need to learn from you, Lord. I need to learn from you." It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 10, when he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Not a very safe thing to be, right? "So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Or, "You'll be hated by all because of my name. But it's the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Maybe you feel this a little bit particularly this month. You know, it is Pride Month, and we think, well, maybe I should be a little bit more careful, you know, if I say something about my faith or the Bible. You know, I don't want to get any backlash, whether that's at work or with the people I'm around. Jesus warns us beforehand that the people aren't going to appreciate you, and much more, they're going to dislike you for your faith. But the cry of this psalm says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Like, keep me on the straight path. Remind me what's important." And it's here that we get to the end of the psalm, verses 13 and 14. He says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Your Bible might also say, "I believe." I think the New American Standard says this one, "I would have despaired unless I had believed." And the English Standard Version says, "I believe," as like an affirmation. And I want us to appreciate the importance of this. Because the psalm comes full circle, right? Do you notice that? He starts off the psalm full of confidence and brimming with confidence in the Lord. He says, "The Lord's my light, my salvation. Who do I have to fear? I have nothing to be afraid of if I trust in the Lord. In fact, there's only one thing that I seek, and that's to be with God forever, to dwell in his house all of my days." And then, after all this confidence, he says, "But God, please hear me, because I have all this danger around me. I have all these problems that I don't know how to solve, Lord. I have these questions that I'm worrying about. Please hear me. Don't turn away from me, God." And yet, even as he wrestles with all of these troubles in his life, he comes back to this confidence at the end of the psalm. Do you see that? He says, "I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And he speaks, and it's a little bit unclear at this last verse. You know, I'll leave it up to you to make your own decision about it. Do you think that he's writing to the reader, to the audience, like saying, "Wait for the Lord"? Those who are reading this psalm, this is what you need to do. It's also possible that he's writing this to himself. It's like he's talking to himself, reminding himself, "Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage." Either way, it's important for us, right? He says, "I need to remind myself." And he brings himself back to it. My encouragement for you this morning is that when your trust is in the Lord, when you're on the Lord's side, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to fear. There's one thing in the world that matters. One thing I have asked for. One thing I will seek: to dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're on like a spiritual high right now. You're like, "I know exactly what you're talking about. I have that confidence." But maybe you resonate more right now with verses 7 through 12. Maybe you're going through something very difficult, whether external or internal. And these words really resonate with you. Lord, please hear my cry. I need your help, God. The encouragement after all of this is that wait for the Lord. That's the kicker. Be strong, let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. Because God is faithful and true. He always comes through for his people. He always keeps his promises. He has promised to give us the strength that we need for today and the hope that we have for tomorrow. The Lord will come again, and we will always be in the house of the Lord all of our days. So learn from this verse, in verse 14. We need to verbalize this. It's not enough just to know it and to think about it. Say these words out loud to your brothers and sisters. You know, when you're talking to each other during the week or after this or after Bible class, when you say, hey, how's your week going? And they're honest and they say, well, it's all right. No, or it's not so good. Say these things. Say, wait for the Lord, brother. Wait for the Lord. It'll turn out. Say it to yourself whenever you're low, whenever you're feeling battered and weathered. Wait on the Lord because he is faithful and true. His steadfast love endures forever. Or as Jesus says, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the good news for this morning. I hope that it encourages you and lifts you up. The last thing that we'll do right before the sermon's over, this is verse 4 of this psalm. This is the sort of passage that this would be really good on like a Hobby Lobby sign. Are Hobby Lobbies out here? Yeah, okay. I know we have them back east. I just now thought, oh man, maybe they don't have them. This would be a really good sign for your house, you know. Hang that up on the wall or put it on your refrigerator. This is a verse to write down and to remember. So what I'd like to do, a little bit new around here, I'd like to all read this together once before the lesson's over. We'll read it aloud. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Amen. Amen. If you would please stand, we'll have a prayer, and then we'll go right to our invitation song. Let's all bow. God in heaven, you alone are holy. You are the light of the world. You are our salvation. What do we have to fear? If you are for us, who can be against us? Whatever trouble is set ahead and around about us, we trust in you to raise us up. Whatever people fall through on us, or come against us, our confidence is sure in you. One thing we need, and one thing we seek, to dwell in your house all the days of our lives, seeing your beauty and considering your ways. We wait for you, Lord. And it's in the name of our good King Jesus that we pray, and amen.